What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, people. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're all doing amazing today. And I mean, I bet everyone is doing at least 10% better because it feels like summer is finally here, guys. I'm sorry to be so British and talk about the weather as soon as we get on here. But can you imagine if the UK was like this all the time? London is literally the best place in the summer. Sorry, Liverpool, but it's true. Also, the weather has been at the forefront of my mind because guess who's going to Glasgow? Me. I'm going to be there. Legs out, arms out, everything's going to be out because it's going to be sunny. But we're not here to talk about me getting pissed in the fields, believe it or not. We're actually here to talk about health and wellness because that's what this show is about. What the Health is about all things in the fitness industry, the health and wellness industry, anything that comes underneath that little umbrella. So on this show, we talk to people who are experts in their field. We discuss, dissect and debunk myths, the never-ending myths that we see on the internet, and we pick apart the endless TikTok trends. So later in today's show, we are going to be talking to Rachel Wolford, who's the winner of this year's Apprentice 2024. Oi, oi. And she's the owner of the North Studio. And then we have Sam Prin, who's co-founder of Strong Hair. But first, I'm joined by Dr. Miriam Zamani, oculoplastic surgeon, hope I said that right, and facial aesthetics doctor. Are you there, my love?
I am indeed.
Hello. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So, this week in this segment, we're going to be talking about LED masks and whether they're worth the hype or the price tag. So, as the skin expert, I want to pick your brains about this. How does LED light therapy work, first and foremost?
So LED stands for light emitting diode. And basically, these are different wavelengths of light that get emitted by the device. So I actually have one here so that you know, you can take a look at it. And basically what it does is that it helps to do different things depending on the wavelength. So there's red light, there's blue light, there's infrared light, and they go to different levels to help either treat the skin, rejuvenate the skin by promoting collagen and elastin production, or it helps to decrease the amount of P. acnes, which is a bacteria that sits on top of the skin to help decrease it so you have decreased bursts and acne. So there's lots of different things that you can use it for, and it has excellent clinical trials, both in studies previously and now in the home use arena as well.
Okay, so you are a supporter then.
I love LED.
Okay,
I think
great.
It's the best way to elevate your skincare routine at home.
Yes, I agree. I love mine. I mean, I would love to use it every day, but I do forget. But I do have one that's like in my bedroom. Whenever I see it, I'm like, oh, because you only need a few minutes right at home.
Well, you know, the thing that I think is really important for people to know is that these masks, like mine here, is an LED, is FDA cleared, which means that it's been approved by the FDA. It's a medical device. And so there's really a certain dose. It's very important for anybody using the equipment to use it in the amount of time that it's meant to be used for, because it's like having medicine. It's very dose dependent.
Okay, fine. So the one that I have at home it's recommended to use between 3 to 5 times a week. I think there's a timer on it and it's literally up to 10 minutes or something like that. So I assume it's probably not got, you know, it's not as, what's the word? Gets in there as much as you would do when you go.
So you see, when you have these masks, they all have these LED lights on the inside of them, and they can be different colors. This one that I have is blue and red together. So one to soup up collagen and the blue to help decrease inflammation. So it helps to reduce, you know, acne lesions by 80% when you use it over the course of 12 weeks. Now, if you have a medical condition like acne, you want to be consistently using it for this time that it's meant to. My mask is for 10 minutes. And what it does is it helps decrease that inflammation, helps decrease the amount of P. acnes that sits on the skin and helps to recover a little bit faster. So someone who has slightly darker skin and that spot lasts forever, it helps also to make it go away a little bit faster. So again, you have to use it on the amount of time that it's meant to. I made it easy. I put a timer, you know how long you have, 10 minutes, it shuts off and you don't have to think about it. But ideally, if you have a medical condition, you want to be using it probably at least 4 times a week.
You know what?
Rosacea, acne, you know, those types of things.
Yeah. I find that when I've got mine on, it's like, it's just a moment for me to just be, you know, because you can't look at your phone, you can't really read a book or anything. I'm literally just like lying there. I always tend to fall asleep and then the buzzer goes off and I'm like, huh? Wait.
You know what? It's self-care and it's an active form of meditation. You know, you're doing something in the moment for yourself. And, you know, the light, just because it's bright, also is incredibly soothing. It makes you feel like, you know, you're in the sunshine when you're not. And it's only giving you wavelengths that are really good for your skin. Sorry.
So are there any cons with the LED masks then? I know that you say that yours is FDA approved. So there's got to be a load out there, right? You can probably get them on Amazon these days. Are there any ones that you should avoid?
I think it's very important to make sure that you have an FDA cleared CE marked device. That means that it's gone under much more stringent guidelines. I personally think that you need to have a mask or a panel. The handheld ones do not work as well because remember, it's dose related. And so maybe you go in a circle 25 times instead of 15 times. You know, everybody has a different area of skin that they're trying to treat. And so I don't think the handheld ones are very useful. And I think you can potentially do more harm than good. So I'd stay away from handheld ones. I'd look for the FDA CE cleared, marked products, and I would use it as it's meant to be used. I would say that if you are somebody who takes a lot of medications, whether it's for diabetes or you're on antibiotics, you always have to check with your doctor before using, because there are some medications that can be light activated. So you don't want to be using, you know, an antibiotic or even a diabetic medication that can actually, you know, bring out a skin condition or, you know, affect you in some other way. So I think you have to just make sure you're not taking any other medications, or if you are, that they're okay to be taking.
Yeah. Is it okay to use with like retinol, things like that?
So it's part of an everyday skincare routine. I absolutely have retinol in my skincare routine. I would not use any active ingredient and then put the LED mask on. I advise all my patients and my clients to wash their face. And then if they want to have maybe a little bit of hyaluronic acid or, you know, just something incredibly almost bland, you know, very monosyllable, you can put something very, you know, very hydrating on the skin and put the mask on, but no actives of the skin with your LED mask. So no vitamin C, no retinol, no SPF. You don't want anything that is sitting on top of the skin that the light has to go through. Again, it can, one, deactivating the ingredient, two, it could have deeper penetration of the ingredient.
Okay.
And if you're putting sunblock, then you're just not going to have the LED, so don't do that. But absolutely, I think, you know, you should use your skincare afterwards or before, but not at the actual time when you're using your LED.
Okay. And then also, they're very expensive, aren't they?
They are.
You know, and I feel like they do last you for a long time, though. You know, you'd buy one device and then it would last you forever, right? Because you're investing in it. Is there any cheaper alternatives that you know of?
So no, there is no quick fix. So I have to say that it is an investment. It's an investment to elevate your skincare routine in the luxury of your own home. It will last you for years. And if you look at, you know, use per pound or dollar or whatever your currency is, if you actually are good at using it, it will, you know, give back in balance and heaps.
Yeah.
So it is an initial steep expenditure, but it's something that you can do in the comfort of your own home. And, you know, for instance, for my patients, or not even my patients, a lot of people who come and see me or don't see me, it allows them to get almost an in-office experience in the comfort of their own home. So you might not have time for a facial, but you can find that 10 minutes, you know, even if it's 11 o'clock at night, to put it on your face.
It's so true. That's why I love it. You know, I have to admit, whenever I've been for facials and they use the LED masks on me, so my friend would want to use it for like 15 minutes. And there's something about, I actually prefer doing it at home, because I feel like I'm choosing to just like sit there for 10 minutes. But when I go for a facial, I'm like always rushing around trying to, you know, like, I'm like 15 minutes to just sit here and not talk and just be underneath this light. It's like, you know.
So
I agree, like, if you're using it at home 3 or 4 times a week, say if something's £200, that's, you're thinking about it, you're going to use it, say £2 per session. It's quickly going to add up, right? So it's so worth it. And I think with other skincare products as well, like, you will invest in something that's going to maybe cost a little bit more because you know that it gives you good results. I've started using the Medic 8 retinol. I've only just started using it. Wonderful. The difference in the matter of weeks. And I'm like, I'm basically Benjamin Button at this point.
You are. Well, you know what? Skincare, the beauty of skincare is that no matter what age you start, you are going to have benefits from it. And the more you get it incorporated into your routine, the better foundation you're going to give for your skin, and you're going to look your best for as long as possible. And that's the goal always.
That's the goal.
And self-care is to live your best life, look your best, and give your best foot forward. And a lot of that comes with a little bit of self-care at home. And
yeah,
10 minutes, you know, a couple times a week is not such a big ask.
I think for me, I got to my 30s and it was like, okay, I should probably start actually looking after my skin a bit more now, because growing up, I used to just use what was ever in the drawer, you know, but now I'm like actually investing in my LED mask, investing in like a bit better skincare regime. I have to admit, it doesn't happen every day. Some days I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter. But
it's okay. We can't always be on 100% of the time. Every day that you can do it is a good day.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. So what are your top tips then for anyone that's trying to improve their skin health?
So I want to say, I think you should keep it consistent. And in order to keep it consistent, keep it simple. I have a 3-step philosophy. One is to reveal, 2 is to enhance, and 3 is to protect. So reveal is pretty straightforward. That means to cleanse the skin, make sure you get rid of any makeup, debris. If you need to double cleanse, you double cleanse. It's really important, in particular in the evening, to get rid of everything that you've accumulated throughout the day. Then I want you to enhance. And this is where it's very target specific to your skincare. So this is where serums can come in. You can target, if do you have rosacea, you want to help improve redness. Do you have acne? Are you going to use ingredients that are going to help decrease your, you know, your at your breakouts? Do you have pigmentation? Do you want to brighten your skin? Or do you just want to have a general overall, you know, wellness to your skin and glowing? So those are the things that you can target and you want to enhance. So you want to look at your actives. I think everybody should be on a retinol. So I'm very happy to hear that you have added that to your
regime.
And I also think that most people can tolerate a good antioxidant, like a vitamin C, usually in combination with other ingredients, which will help a myriad of skin issues. And then I also want you then to decide what kind of cream or moisturizer or serum you want based on your skin type. And that can change. It can fluctuate. In the summer months, you might want something lighter. You might go for more serum-based or lotion or even a very light cream. Whereas in the winter, you might be more dehydrated and you might want something richer. So I think you need to be able to mix it up. So you target per your concern and you find the consistency based on what your skin needs. And like I said, it can, you know, fluctuate with season. It can fluctuate with your hormones. It can fluctuate with your menstrual cycle. It can fluctuate with your eating and your dietary and sleeping habits. There's so many different things. And then finally, you want to protect the skin. Again, that, so sorry, there's like, you know, crazy motorcycles outside. That can be, you know, with something like a SPF and also some of the antioxidants. So keep it simple. Find 2 or 3, you know, products you really like. Make sure that you're consistent. Use them for, you know, 4 to 8 weeks, because it takes a few weeks for skincare to show its effects on skin. There's no magic bullet. Yes, you can hydrate your skin and make those fine lines and wrinkles look less apparent. But in order to treat skin, you really need to give it that, you know, 4 to 8 week time frame.
It's true. Some people just expect things to happen overnight, right? It's the same with anything. People go for one run and they're like, why have I not got a 6-pack yet? But I think it's just about consistency is key. I should have written that down, the steps that you said. So what was it, just to go over
it again? Reveal, enhance, and protect. Enhance with, you know, specific ingredients that are targeted for your skin concerns, mm-hmm. the kind of cream that you like, and then protect.
Amazing.
And if you haven't started an eye cream, you know, when you're in your 20s onward, you should probably invest in a good eye cream.
I hear to that, because I'm actually going to reach out to you afterwards, because I hear that you're the eye expert and my eyelids are doing a madness.
They look pretty good from here.
Okay, that's good. I've been using my eye creams, but only in my 30s. So honestly, guys, start in your 20s, because only Sorry. Regrets. Thank you, you know, so
you
much.
You never think you need anything until you start.
It's too late.
That
you don't know what you've got until it's gone, guys. Exactly. Until the elasticity is gone. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, babes. Have a great day.
Thank
Speak
you.
To you soon. Honestly, guys, it's true. My eyelids, I probably shouldn't be telling the bloody world this. They look all right today, but when I'm tired, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I literally look older than I am. Anyway, let's move on. So, my exercise of the week, it's not really an exercise, but it's more of a, I did interval training last night because I'm a runner now, guys. Ethan was like, come to the track with me, my brother. He's like, come to the track with me and let's do some intervals. So I'm trying to, I did turf games, didn't I? I want to do high rocks. Basically, I'm just trying to do a bit more hybrid training than what I've been doing for the last couple of years, which is just predominantly strength. So I'm trying to increase my endurance capacity, my velocity, whatever that means, basically however long your lungs can survive for without falling over. And yeah, so I was like, and he went, this is going to improve your overall running and your capacity to like keep going. So I went, and I have to say, I didn't die, which is great. I'm here now today with yous. But it was frigging hard. So we did 2 800 meters with like 2 minute rest in between, 2 600 meters with like 1.5 minutes rest in between, and 2 400 meters. They did all that. I did 1 800 meters, 2 600 meters, and 2 400. And you know what? I was actually dead proud of myself. But basically, apparently I have to be doing that minimum once a week in order to actually increase my velocity. I think that's what it's called. So watch the space, guys, because soon I'm going to be winning high rocks. I'll see you after the break.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me now, I have Claire Seal, who is a content creator and author.
You know, I think there's loads of shame when it comes to money and financial difficulty, but I honestly think that that shame is really a symptom of the judgment that exists in society. I don't think that people are feeling ashamed for the sake of it. I think they're feeling ashamed because you can't really sort of open your phone or open a newspaper without seeing these huge judgments piled on people who've made mistakes with money. And I think it's acceptable for people to slag you off about being bad with money in a way that it might not be for like other mistakes that you might make.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
Let's bring in Tobias Elwood, former defence minister.
Rishi Sunak has done well to pivot us back, taken us into far calmer political waters.
Has he taken you back into calmer political waters? I mean, you're on track, according to some of the polls, to the largest wipeout in years and, you know, may never return from it. I mean, how has he taken you back into calmer political waters?
We've just seen inflation go down to 2%. Confidence in business is returning.
But is that down to Rishi Sunak?
You've got to let me finish the question. You keep asking me a question and then throwing another question in.
I'm just curious to know, is inflation down to Rishi Sunak?
What the hell? With Gabby Allen.
I have this stunning Steph Williams with me now, founder of the WeGlow app. I did turf games on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was horrible. It was horrible. But it was so fun. But it was, like, savage, right? Yeah. But I wasn't the best in the room, and I hate that. And I was like, oh, God, I haven't trained, like, well enough for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't normally think I am, but then when I was there, I was like, this is so annoying because... Yeah. And then I was like... Why do I actually need to be good at this, though? Yeah. Like, can I not just do it for fun?
But also, it's like, when I've done, like, classes and stuff before, and the blokes were like, lift that heavier weight, and I'm like, no, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to lift the heavier weight. Like, I know what I'm capable of. I know what works for my body.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of, like, I know what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if you're working out to feel good, you're going to look good.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. Can you hear my friend Rachel? Can you hear me?
I can, Gabby. How are you?
I'm great. So, guys, joining me now is the fabulous and fellow Northerner, Rachel Wolford, who won The Apprentice 2024 this year. And she owns the North Studio.
Yeah.
So, tell me, first of all, is this the North Studio that was the Build Studio?
Yeah, Gabby, it was. Right, so let me tell you. It's 4 years old, so it pre-exists, The Apprentice.
Okay.
And it's called North Studio, but the problem is, when you're on the show, you're not allowed to use your business's name.
Oh, okay.
So they make you rebrand it for the purpose of that presentation that you came and watched.
Yeah.
And basically for legal purposes, you couldn't use your name. So I reluctantly had to make the horrific name and branding, which was Studio Build, which you got to see in the flesh.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter, though, because you still won.
I mean, yeah, I mean, thank God it wasn't judged on what I could do with a logo.
Okay, right, so first of all, I went to see Rachel in the Apprentice final. I was invited along as a fitness expert to kind of give my expertise, apparently, on Rachel's pitch to Lord Sugar, which was amazing. And that's basically how we know each other. So that's why she's on the show today, because she's a legend and she's now a partner of Lord Sugar's. What the hell? Okay, so first of all, let's get let the audience get to know you a bit more. Okay. Tell me, quick fire questions. So it's quick, just off the top of your head. Three words to describe yourself.
Oh, definitely unique, bit crazy, and driven.
Love them. Workout in the morning or evening?
Morning, but I teach a lot in the morning, so sometimes evening.
Oh, that's what it's like, isn't it, when you're a trainer? You have to teach other people, and then by the time you get to your own class, you're like, oh.
You're done in.
Yeah. what is your workout anthem?
Anthem?
Yeah, like what do you blast?
Oh, I mean, no specific tunes, but I love drum and bass and I love R&B.
Same.
So anything like that.
Same. Love drum and bass. Oh, I was actually on the tube this morning. I wasn't listening to drum and bass, but someone else was listening to it. And I was thinking, oh my God, people must hear that on the tube and think we're nuts. You know, like when...
I know. I sometimes, when I have a new playlist and it starts playing for the clients, I do sometimes think, have I taken this too far?
They're like, okay. Okay, right. So can you tell us more about your business then, the North Studio? So you said it's been around for a few years now. Tell us more about it.
So it's small group fitness classes. So essentially, you know, I thought Leeds was lacking something personal, something small. I thought a lot of the gym classes in Leeds were quite boring because, you know, I'm from here and I grew up around here, and you know, there's loads of great gyms, and I'm not disrespecting anything that already exists, but you know, there were mundane classes, they were boring, and nobody was really like that excited to be attending their classes. So I'd seen a few places down in London because you guys have got loads down there. You know, I'd been around America after I graduated uni and thought, why don't we have anything like this? So 4 years ago, well, 5 years ago, I found this unit, and then we opened it 4 years ago because COVID kind of got in the way a little bit. But it focuses on inclusivity, small personal classes, and good fun as well. So, you know, loud tunes, good tunes. We're not afraid to, you know, you know, like a few years ago, people wouldn't play in the big gyms like the Pure Gym, the David Lloyd's, wouldn't dare play Drake or, you know, anything a little bit out there. As I don't, you know, we love it.
Yeah.
So, you know, good tunes, good atmosphere, and we're really community driven as well.
Yeah, you make people want to come back, because that's all what it's about, isn't it, fitness? You want to make it, A, inclusive, especially in a class environment, but you want people to leave being like, oh, I didn't want that to end. I want to come back for another one.
Absolutely. You don't want people to dread going. And I think the community feel has really made people come back. And the fact, you know, we know people by name when they walk in, which sounds impossible, but, you know, if you really drive it into yourself and into your team, it's something that goes a long way.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm absolutely terrible with names. So I'd be like, oh, shit, I'd need people to wear names.
Off the list.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, yeah, but welcome back again. I suppose, yeah. And also just like recognising people's faces and stuff. And, you know, that does make you feel like you're part of something, I think.
100%.
Yeah.
It makes people feel important, doesn't it?
So you're still teaching your classes then?
There's 25 instructors, including me.
25? Jesus.
Yes, we've got two sites. We've got a site in Leeds, a site in Harrogate. We do about 120 classes a week across both of them. So it's, you know, it's a full-on thing, you know, 7 days a week. I teach quite a bit, but I am trying to reduce it at the minute because, as you'll know, Gabby, like, you do too many, you end up burning out yourself, which I experienced about a month ago. I was just doing too much and then not getting my own workouts in, which, you know, I started this because I love my workouts. I love my fitness. I really rely on my workouts for my own mental health. And I think, you know, I was experiencing burnout about a month ago. So I still want to teach. I love my group stuff. I don't really do a lot of one-to-one. It's, you know, my group stuff I absolutely love. And I'll always do. But, I'm trying to reduce a few of my hours at the minute so I can focus more on the management and the growing side of it as
well. Yeah, of course. Like, you've got to find a balance, right? Because I'm the same. Like, I don't teach in studio anymore. Before I did Love Island, I was teaching, God, like 20, 30 hours of fitness a week. And a lot of those classes were choreography based. So it was like from start to finish, it was all, you know, I was doing the whole thing. So it was great because I was like so ripped. But I was getting injured because I didn't have any downtime. Like I was like, you know, on a Thursday alone, I think I was teaching like 5 hours of classes. But
it's
like
exhausting.
It's exhausting, but it's also like it's not. I was training other people, I weren't training myself. And it's like, you know, even though I was getting the workout in, it wasn't too. evolve myself, you know what I mean? Yes. So I completely get that, and I think you're definitely doing the right thing. Like, stay true to yourself. Like, you will thrive, like, teaching classes, obviously. Like, that is, like, in you, and that will give you some sort of fulfillment. But, you know, you can do that, but also look after yourself, you know?
100% agree, 100%.
So you're saying that you want to expand?
Yes.
Oh.
So, I mean, the last year's been a bit crazy because, well, you know that the show finished filming just over a year ago now. And, you know, in that 12 months, well, not 12 months, I guess it was 7 months to airing, but you don't know if you've won or not. I knew I was in the final, but I had no idea if I'd won the show or not. So you're kind of in that limbo of, well, shall I expand now or shall I wait and see what's going on with, you know, if I've won the
investment? With my mate, Lord Sugar.
And you know, is Lord Sugar investing? Who knows? So anyway, you know, I've tried to, you know, run the business as smoothly as possible in the last year without knowing kind of the outcome, and also not you know, people weren't aware I was even on it at one point. So
yeah, it's crazy.
So now I know that I've got the investment. We're focusing on, we're going to open up a Reforma Pilates studio in North Leeds, which is where I live. And then we're going to open another standalone North studio, which is, so if you think about, you know, I mean, you saw some of the people that were at the talk, Gabby, but there was like One Rebel, there was Barry's, there was Cycle. We kind of do the kind of classes they do. So those high intensity classes with your treadmills, with your weights. So we're going to open hopefully another one of those style of places later on in the year. But at the moment, just a Reforma Pilates studio in our existing, basically expanding what we already have in Leeds.
Okay.
And then later in the year, hopefully opening another location entirely. But, you know, it's a lot. I think, you know, you can't do these things overnight, and finding the right location and, you know, making sure it's right for the business as well, making sure I can get to it.
Because
I do need to, at the end of the day, it does require me to be there. It's not just as simple as setting up and putting staff in it.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, I would love to have my own studio as well, but like, I just couldn't commit to being in the same place for, God, well, basically.
Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah.
See, I love what you're doing because I've seen what you're doing, and I'm going on a retreat next week. And I just, honestly, I've seen what you did. And where were you recently?
Mykonos, and we're going to Ibiza in October.
Oh, it looked insane. Like, that is, I'd like to maybe do some more like that kind of stuff later, you know, in a few years' time. I think it's
100%.
Just,
if you've got the community, like, there's so much you can do with the community, and, you know, people buy into wanting to be around you or wanting to be around the vibe that's in there. But speaking of vibes, Lord Sugar, is he like as a business partner? Have you started working with him yet?
So we're really early days. So I've had a few meetings with him since I won. Obviously, there's a lot of legal stuff that you have to get through before you can even open the business, which thank God that's done, because that took so long. But you know what? So supportive. He just wants to help the next generation of entrepreneurs. And I think anybody who wants to help inspire the next, you know, set of young people who are wanting to work hard and, you know, aspire to be someone like him, I think it's great. And he has been so supportive. I work the majority of the time with his team, who have been absolutely brilliant with me and, you know, providing all the resources I could possibly need. And it's just amazing to, you know, I've been by myself for the last 4 years, and it's really nice to have somebody on the team with me who's also, you know, all for growing the business and something someone I can fall back on when I'm not sure what to do, or, you know, I have pretty much winged it for the last 4 years, if that makes sense. You know, when I'm not sure what to do, I kind of just go ahead anyway, whether I know, you know, I don't know the right answer half the time. And it's just really nice to have the support of him and his team.
100%. I think we're all winging it, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
it's, you
winging
know,
life.
Winging life in general. Like, you know, with my retreats and stuff like that, I love doing them, but it is literally just a winging it situation a lot of the time. 100%. And eventually I would like to eventually I'd like to have a business partner. Maybe I'll ask Lord Sugar to come on board.
He's into the fitness.
I know, yeah. Well, I've heard that apparently you're the second business fitness business that he's invested in, right?
Do you know what I am? And the media, oh my gosh. I mean, you'll know loads about trolling, I'm sure, and the negative stuff of the media, but I got hounded because he invested in the gym. Because he invested in a gym for 2 years on the trot, and people are like, oh, the show's boring, he only wants gyms. It's like, hang on. He invested in a gym for the first time last year and is investing in another one. Like, you know, it's just a show of what, you know, people are wanting to do with their lives. And, you know, fitness is now, thank God, a massive thing in people's lives. And it's just, he's exactly. only investing in what's present and what is, you know, obviously the market, as you know, is huge. And since, especially since COVID, people have really, you know, reprioritized things. So, yeah. you know, I got absolutely hounded for him.
Honestly, the media and trolls and stuff, half the time they're just, I mean, they've probably never done a workout in their life. They're just sat behind the keyboards being like, two fitness things. Don't even know what a dumbbell looks like.
Honestly, I thought people should be happy that there's things like more gyms popping up. But, you know, can't please everyone, can
you? What was your background before you opened the gyms then? Was you teaching at other people's classes?
Yeah, so I started out as a PT when I was about 21. I was PTing in big commercial gym in Leeds and I hated it. But, you know, I did it because for the experience. And as you know, getting into the industry, it's not easy to have your clients straight away. I was doing a lot of free work and I was teaching classes for nothing, which looking back, so unethical, but I was just doing everything I could to break into the industry. I was working at different studios after I finished with my gym job. And then I went and managed the Sweaty Betty store actually in Harrogate. And that got me into the community. It was a really good step into the fitness community in Harrogate actually, which is where I've got one of my other studios. And do you know what, Gabby? I was just doing any work I could get hold of, whether it was PT, studio work, reception work on gyms. So my background is fitness. Prior to that, I was at university. I did an economics degree. So I was going down the finance route, but I always was, you know, fitness was my life from being about 18. And I knew I wanted to do that, but I just didn't know how to kind of make money and how to make a career out of it. I thought, there's no way I can. And I think, you know, at first, you know, it's hard making money, isn't it, in the fitness industry? But I think when you find your niche and you find your clients and, you know, you work out what you're actually good at. Yeah. And, you know, another thing I think, if anyone's wanting to open up a studio or a gym, you don't have to be at the best in the industry to open up a gym. You know, you can get those people in to teach your classes and you can hire people with those skills. I am not the best in Leeds at what I do, but I can, you know, I can open a studio up and I know what I'm doing in that side of things. And I think it's really important to, you know, not to be intimidated by other people in the industry, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, it's the same with anything. You've got to start somewhere, 100%.
Yes.
Like, and I don't believe that. I think you're probably very good at what you do and opening studios. But, you know, it is very much that. I remember when I was doing just teaching classes, as I said, I was teaching God knows how many hours and I was working for like nothing. And because you're working for yourself, you're freelance, so you are if you don't work the hours, you don't get paid.
Exactly.
So I was on it was just ridiculously just, that's why I had to do all the hours under the sun. That's why I was injured all the time. So I think like my goal was to be able to come like become a master trainer at a gym. Yeah. So then I would probably get paid a little bit more and have a bit more you know, authority and responsibility, and like that was my goal really, to like build my way up almost and then become maybe a gym manager or something like that.
Yeah.
And then obviously Love Island came knocking and then it gave me the platform to do what I was doing before but bigger, which is great. So basically either open your studio or go on Love Island.
Yeah, either one. Well, I mean, I did The Apprentice. I could have done Love Island, but
I
don't know. I might not want it, but yeah, went on The Apprentice and opened a gym instead.
Oh my God, I would love to go on The Apprentice. Maybe we'll swap.
Oh, Gabby, honestly, it is.
What was it like, the experience?
Honestly, I think, I mean, you know, you've been on I didn't think it was reality TV. It is. For the first 10 weeks, they are just trying to make good TV. They, you know, they just, those cameramen, those producers must have such a laugh at some of those tasks they make you do, because they are obviously trying to separate, you know, the good from the bad and see who can actually survive in the high pressure situations, which is why some of the really good candidates go early on, because they might have great, you know, business acumen, or they might have a profession, but they can't cope with the pressure because it's such high pressure. And you've got like an hour to do things that take businesses 6 months. And, you know, the whole point is you know, they are setting you up to fail. And I understand why, because, you know, the prize is massive. And then the last 2 weeks of the show, which is the interviews and then the pitch, which you came along to, that is when it becomes properly about your business. And that's less reality TV, more serious, which I preferred that end of it because I could speak about my business. But it was mad, you know, it's
yeah.
You're away from home, no phone, you're getting asked, you literally, you have to think on the spot. You have to make things up on the spot. There's no, oh, I'll Google that, or I'll just check the spelling of that, or I'll just check the calculation of that. It's you know, it was an amazing experience, but it was
hardcore.
So much tougher than I ever thought it would be, honestly.
I mean, that sounds a lot harder than Love Island. We're just trying to decide who you fancy. You're like, on the spot, you know, all these calculations. And I'm like, is he fit or is he not fit?
Still a lot of pressure though, Gabby, because that was on every day.
Well, I think I didn't know anything like from behind the scenes of The Apprentice. So that's really interesting to hear that it is actually like as hardcore as it make out. Because people do watch reality and they go, oh, like, I bet it's not actually like that.
A lot of judgment, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Would you do it again? Maybe you can do Big Brother. You can do Big Brother next time. Listen, that is hell. I'll tell you that. That is hell.
I have no regrets at all. It has turned me into a different person. I'm tougher than I ever was. But I don't think I could go through that again, being away from my business, being away from my family. It was tough. I'd do TV again. But I'd love to do something like, I bet you like this as well, like SAS Who Dares Win, something, fitness challenge, anything, you know, outdoors. Oh, I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah. I did the challenge, the MTV challenge, and that was...
What was that? Was it outdoors?
It's, so it's basically a cross between Survivor and Big Brother. But the Big Brother part is the hardest part because you're around like a load of just crazy people that are all trying to win this £1 million prize, right? The actual fitness side, so it's not really fitness, it's more adrenaline stuff. So like we hung off helicopter on a bloody net thing. I was on the, like, holding onto the edge of a mountain. Like there's like underwater challenges that I would absolutely just like not do. Oh. I don't like that. Being confined underwater, things like that. But I think I like the idea of SAS, but then I actually think about it and I'm like, oof. I don't
like the sort of, you know, when they take you into that room and they grill you.
Like, yeah, and they shout at you. I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know. I know. I've got all this.
You'd be able to do it because you've already kind of been through it with The Apprentice.
Yeah, true. I've had stuff thrown at me and had to cope with it. So maybe I'll be all right.
Do you think now that you've done it then, do you think it has, as you said, made you more tunnel vision and like really focused on now, you know, that you've got it in you to be bigger and better and evolve and become Miss Leeds?
100%. I mean, you've got to have some self-belief to set up a business. I'm not saying I had no confidence because I did. But I think, you know, I doubted myself often. And, you know, we all play that comparison thing, don't we? Where we see other people and we think, oh, like, they're doing better than me. Why can't I do that? And I think, not that I think I'm doing better than other people, but I think it's given me more confidence in myself and just going through the process. Forget even winning it for a second. Actually doing that process, being away from home, and doing things that I've, you know, never done in my life before has given me a skill set to kind of just crack on with things and think, actually, I can do it. And, you know, it's definitely made the whole experience, going on TV, you know, having to deal with the negative and the positives, the whole thing, the whole package has definitely made me tougher. And I can definitely cope with more. And I reckon it's built my resilience for sure.
I love that. And lastly, you said before, for anyone that was thinking about opening a studio, just go for it. What would your, like, is there any other top tips that you'd say to anyone that's starting to, like, open their own fitness business?
I think that anyone starting their own fitness business, maybe this applies to all, but, you know, having a presence in there at the start, for sure. You don't need to be there every day for the rest of time, but I think it's really important that you have a presence. And, you know, especially if you want to be memorable to clients and you want repeat business, you know, you need to be in there getting to know people, speaking to people.
Building community, you know, getting rapport.
Absolutely. That's the heart of my business, has been building that community. And, you know, if that means being in there 7 days a week the first 6 months, unfortunately, you know, that's part of building a business. And that, you know, that's fitness and potentially other businesses as well. You know, my background, I don't know much about things outside of fitness, but, you know, speaking to your customers, getting to know them, what do they want, getting feedback, good and bad, because you're going to get both. Mm. And yeah, I think having a heavy presence and also not underestimating how hard it's going to be. It's, you know, financially, I say this to everybody, especially young people who are setting up, you are not going to make any money in the first year or two. It is, you know, you're going to think, what am I doing? When is this going to start paying off? And it does, but you have to accept,
persevere.
You know, those first couple of years is... you are throwing money into it and you ain't getting a lot back out, unfortunately. But it will pay off in time if you stick at it.
I love that. Perseverance, consistency, yes, determination.
It is worth it.
You are so inspiring. Thank you so much for coming on today, Rach. It's been a pleasure seeing you again. Hopefully, we will cross paths again soon.
I hope so. Thank you for
having me. Good luck with everything. Take care, my love.
Thank you.
Coming up after this, I'll be joined by Tig, co-founder of Strong Hair. See you then.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me in the studio was AJ and Curtis Pritchard.
When I used to go on Strictly, I used to think of it as like a public service. I'm entertaining somebody for 90
and
seconds.
And we salute you.
And
thank
just like,
you, AJ.
I want people to forget about their problems. I know it's a really weird mentality.
No, it's a... You are right in a way, right? Because there
are
people that
never made the final.
There was no need for that. Well,
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
I'm joined by fellow Love Island contestant, Adam Maxted, and professional wrestler, may I add. If you could wrestle any celebrity, who would it be?
I'm trying to think who would be...
Someone needs to be like your height, your size. Come on, you've got to be fair about it. It can't be like a little weasel.
Maybe like Anthony Joshua or something.
Jesus, really? Yeah. You reckon you could take Anthony Joshua?
In a boxing fight, probably not.
But in a wrestling match, yeah.
In a wrestling match, I back myself.
Okay, fair.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
TikTok sensations Jack and Sorrel. Iconically, there have been some amazing celeb couples. Who would be your favourite of all times, David Beckham and Victoria? Girls.
I just think, like, the twists and turns of it all, but still being together like that, that to me is peak celeb.
For me, do you know what? I just love a good power couple. We had Beyonce, Jay-Z. Like,
yes.
I want them to reign highly. I want them to be girl bossing, man bossing, just bossing throughout, and us obsessed with them separately and together.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Joining me now is Tig, co-founder of Strong Hair, a female-only gym in Bethnal Green. Are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Hi, babes. Thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I'm sitting in a really dark room right now, so not getting in the vitamin D that I want right now, but I'm good.
Well, I just saw you before you came on, and I was like, oh, she's actually going to do this walking around in the sun. I'm so jealous.
No.
Okay, so talk to me. I hear that you've set up a female-only gym, which I think is amazing, and I wish there was more of these on every bloody street corner. What was the reason for setting up Strong Hair then?
There's actually quite a few reasons in it, but myself and my co-founder Sam, years and years ago, we both used to be professional dancers, and we both had our own issues and ways that we weren't comfortable with weight training. For me specifically, it was that I was working in a gym as a receptionist and someone turned around to me and was like, oh, you should be a PT. And I was like, like, I've never lifted a weight in my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to be somebody that can't do something.
Yes.
And then it was through that Sam has her own reasons, but then we became female only personal trainers. And then we just started to recognize within the fitness industry that personal training wasn't accessible to a lot of the demographic, but also then women were just scared of taking on weight training and mm-hmm. we couldn't understand why. But then we also used ourselves as the narrative, if you will, and was like, well, why were we scared? And started to kind of look at reasons why women were scared. Yeah. So there was kind of a lot of reasons, but it was ultimately like getting more women into weight training and taking away that fear, so that if they can do that, then it unlocks their ability to do anything else.
I love that. I think because a lot of women, including a lot of my friends, they'll be like, I'm going to the gym. I'm like, oh, what are you training? They'll be like, oh, I'm just doing a class. I'm like, oh, okay. And don't get me wrong, I'm a class bunny, love them. You know, I used to teach, as I've said, like today, loads and loads of classes. But not a lot of women have the confidence to go, like, to step into a gym. It's not just the confidence, but it's, like, the experience, it's the knowledge. And also we do have the, you know, the added annoyance of men in just in the world, to be honest. But in the gym, it can make you feel uncomfortable, especially if you do feel like you don't know what you're doing, you know what I mean? Was that part of the reason as well?
Yeah, so it was, I mean, I can't... it was what it was like was there's a lot of men that own gyms, and there's a lot of stuff that there is a lot of training, and there's a lot of research that goes into how to train women. It doesn't mean it has to be massively different, but there are certain nuances that women go through in their life, and it just, we felt it was being ignored, and we were just like, nobody else is acknowledging that women need to train a certain way around your cycle. Things need to be taken into consideration. Pregnancy. There's cultural reasons as well. Women can't train in front of men. So none of these things were being looked at, in our opinion, at the time. So then we were like, right, we need to be those people that do it. And then it's just kind of, it just blew up.
Amazing. I mean, good for you. How important is it for you then to have the space? Do you want to have more of them? Is that the goal, to have more of these?
Yeah, so for us, we want more of them. And for us, we position ourselves as the people that are getting more women into weight training. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily that they'll stay with us for the rest of their lives, but we kind of are that grassroots area, if you will, and we don't feel like there's enough spaces that offer that. So yes, there's, you know, fitness spaces and whatever that cater for women, but in terms of educating them on the importance of strength training and then allowing them to unveil what they can do, we don't feel that there's many places that do that, or we know there's not. So for us, it is really important for us to position ourselves in different communities and different spaces, hopefully across the UK, to get more women into strength training to then go on to do other things. Like, you know, they might you've had people going to CrossFit because they were too scared to do that. So they came to us first, then they went into CrossFit.
I love that.
Or they've gone into competition. So we are like the entry point, if
you
will.
Yeah, you're building confidence. I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you know what? It's kind of, it's not the same as my journey, but I went from teaching a lot of classes to my community. And then that was during COVID. That's how like Shape Up was born. And then I went into... I released my first, like my app, which was predominantly weight training. And I actually lost a lot of people that had been with me throughout COVID because they were like, I've been doing class-based stuff at home with you, and now you're giving me stuff that's in the gym that I just don't, you know. And I was like, oh shit. And I kind of like cut off half of my community. So obviously I brought the classes back and I was like, come back. And then I started doing different kinds of classes, basically trying to incorporate more of the heavy lifting kind of stuff, but just in a class-based format instead. So how do you guys do it? Like what would a person's journey look like that came to you?
So now it's a case of they come to us, they have a consultation with us, and they have an option to go down basically an onboarding program, which is 6 weeks long. So, and for that, what it is that we know, there's like 63% of people that join gyms end up cancelling or not using them. And we were like, right, well, that doesn't educate, that doesn't help. It doesn't help anybody at all.
Yeah.
So for us, we go through an onboarding process with them with 6 weeks, where they are given an assigned coach. They're told which sessions or classes they should go to based on their goal. And they're also given nutrition support as well. And at the end of the 6 weeks, then they have the choice whether they can leave or they can stay with us and continue their journey. But we know, by the 6 weeks that we've done right by them and given them the most accurate information for them, so no matter where they go, they've done it the right way, and they understand their body and they're more confident. So that's how we do it. So we kind of take that class element, but we do it with heavy lifts. So it's something that they're used to, but with something new that's going to build their confidence.
That's sick. So they basically get like a structured program, but in a class kind of...
Think of it like large group. It's like large group personal training. That's how we position ourselves, and that's what we are now, like a personal training gym. So you have like large group personal training, which is like classes of 14, which compared to a lot of classes in London, you know, you've got like 40, 30 people, or there's small group personal training.
Trying not to hit anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Just like next to some Sandra over there and Bob over there.
Yeah.
So that for us, it's about, because accountability is one of the biggest things. Like people start, but then they don't know how to continue.
Yeah.
So it's like give them all the support that they need in order for them to make a well-educated decision at the end if they want to stay or they want to continue because they've seen the results that they wanted.
That's amazing. I absolutely love that concept. It's so different as well, but it's like, I'm like, why wasn't this done before? Because it's actually so great. So how would you describe your clientele then? Do they come and they are literally like beginners, or do you have some people that come that are a bit more, they have been to the gym, but they're just trying to find their feet, or what does everyone look like?
I would say the majority are newer to lifting for sure. We do have those that have like dipped their toe in, had a PT before, had a break, and have just lost their confidence with it. But I would say definitely on the newer side. So anybody that's like probably less than 6 months of training, but they know they want to make a change and they're tired of being afraid.
Yeah.
So that's probably our typical demographic, but we do have quite a few people that are like, I know what I'm doing. I just want to be in this environment. I love the community. I love what you stand for. And this is where I want to train and I want to be part of this. But I would say the majority are newer, but then they stay with us for like some people have been with us since we've opened. So nearly 4 years.
Yeah. It's
so
amazing.
Their journey has been insane. Like they're now competing. Some of them turned into coaches. So
this is amazing. You need to, I can see this for you. You're going to have, there's going to be strong hairs on, like, there's going to be one in South London, West London. Because it's just, it's a no-brainer. I'm like, my brain's going off now. I'm like, why are you not in all these other places? That's incredible. So speaking of which then, we know that the fitness industry, most gyms are owned by men. You know, you do go into the gym and it can be quite an intimidating space. However, I do think that it is a lot more approachable now for women. Yeah. Maybe because more women are going to the gym now. So, you know, when I go into the gym and there's like loads of men around, I'm like, ooh, but if I go in and I can see like, you know, girls in my peripheral, it makes me feel a little bit more confident because I'm like, okay, I'm not the only female in here. How do you think it's evolved then over the years? Like, do you still train at your at a normal gym, or do you only train at your gym?
I do both because I like the, you know, sometimes you just want to be around feminine energy. Sometimes you want to be around masculine energy. So I like both, and I will always encourage, like, we're not here to segregate. We're here to give women that have low confidence an option to start. So it's like once you feel comfortable, like, go and train where you want, really. Like, so yeah, I train in both. But I do feel that I never forgot what the question was. I've just said something else. But,
no, that's fine. I was just saying, you know, it's how the training, like, environment has changed for women over the years.
Oh, of course, yeah. So I do feel it's really hard. Like, it has changed, but we can, from here in Stronger, it feels like it's changed more than it has. I think in the more commercial landscape, I think there's so much more that can be done. There is a tiny amount of progression, but it's not anywhere near a patch that what it should be. And that's what's really, it's going to take spaces like my space, like Stronger, there's other spaces as well, to get more women lifting, to kind of put that out on their socials and be talking about it, to then encourage more women to go into other spaces. But I don't know if it's there yet within commercial spaces the way it should be, in all honesty.
Yeah, I mean, it's a man's world, right? Okay, and lastly, I have to ask you, what is the issue with the Stairmaster? I love a Stairmaster, but apparently you won't get one in Stronger.
No, you won't. Okay, why do you love a Stairmaster?
Because I just feel like it's like you're doing something. You know, like, I can have my Netflix on and, you know, I feel like you just, it's not just the same as like walking on a treadmill. Come on then, tell me why it's shit.
Okay, right. So I think we don't like it because of what it's put out on socials. So socials, a lot of people are like, if you want to grow your glutes, get on a Stairmaster.
And
it's
like,
I've got no issues with it for a different version of cardio, you know, which is, you don't want to walk. You don't, like, that's kind of what it is. But also, there is other forms of cardio, and I also, the Stairmaster is massive and clunky. But it's the position we don't like is that people come in, there was a whole trend, or there still is, people want to grow their glutes, but not their legs, just their glutes. And they want to do it on a Stairmaster. Yeah. And it's like, but that's not what it's there for. So that's why, because there's a lot of miseducation around what it's for.
Fair. I was just like, what's the issue with the Stairmaster? But that's fair. It's like, you know, when people are like, just wear a band and like just do some squats with the band. I'm like,
yes,
that's not going to grow you. So
that's why.
Well, I think you're amazing. I think it's amazing what you and Sam are doing. I really hope to see strong hairs all over London and all over the UK eventually, because I think it's an amazing concept, and I really wish you all the best with it. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
See you soon. Take care.
Bye.
Amazing. I, you know, girl power and all that. We need more women like these in the world. And I am going to go along and have a little look. I just, I'm getting all excited about it. I'm like, I want to be involved in this. I want to like see, because, you know, Shape Up for me is like, I have had a few men come to my classes, but it's predominantly women. So yeah, I'm like excited about that. I might actually have to reach out and be like, how can I get involved in Strong Hair? Okay, so now it's time for a couple of your questions, guys. And these were some fun ones this week. So the first one was, Ivy said, what is your biggest gym pet peeve? And I'm like, oh, girl, where do I get started? So first of all, when you're sweaty and you don't wipe it off. So I was a proper sweaty bitch yesterday in the gym, right? It was literally dripping down the machine. And I thought, some people would actually just leave that like that. I would be so embarrassed, like, to just leave it. Like, you know, literally the chair is crying with sweat. But some people literally leave that. Like, come on, guys, have a bit of respect for other people. So that's just one of them, but there's a few more. People hogging loads of equipment. So also in the gym, there was this guy, and he must have been doing a tri-set or something, so, like, three exercises back-to-back, which is fine. But then he was also having, like, 2-3 minute rests in between. So I'm, like, not only are you using one or two machines that I actually wanted, but you're also like, you've just taken so long, and like, maybe this is me being impatient. But I'm like, come on, especially if it's a busy day in the gym, like, see that other people also need to use, or let somebody else jump on. Like, but he wasn't giving me the vibe that I could jump in and also use the machine as well. So yeah, there's that one. And then the last one is people looking at me whilst I'm trying to like lift heavy, and my face is like all screwed up and just not very cute. And I'm like, I need you to stop looking at me whilst I'm doing my facials, please. So yeah, they're my pet peeves for today. I would like to know yours though, guys. What is everyone else's pet peeves? And next question was, cut out alcohol if you want to lose weight. This Freya said, should I cut out alcohol completely in order to lose weight? The answer is no. It depends. Like, of course, drinking every day is not going to be great for anybody, but it's also not great for, yeah, the calorie intake. You know, like one glass of wine is like 250 calories, something like that. So if you have four glasses of wine, it's 1,000 calories on top of your daily intake. So in that way, yeah. But I think I always say to my clients, if socializing is part of your lifestyle and you're socializing and you enjoy it, then don't cut out things, because you're only going to go back and like binge or do them at an even higher level maybe. So just make wiser choices. Choose like one or two socializing events across the month. If fat loss is your goal, by the way, you can like maybe introduce more over the summer or like later on, like after you've reached your goal. But, you know, choose your battles, basically. You don't always have to drink when you go to socializing events. But if you do and you need to drink, then choose cleaner drinks, like, you know, lighter options. Choose one or two a month, and also just don't like overdo it and end up getting in at 4 a.m. crawling up your drive. You know, just try and just be a bit more mindful about these choices, because I find that it's not just that. Once you've been drunk, well, once you're drunk, you also want to eat like KFC and pizza, and the day after you want to eat a takeaway Egg McMuffin. I'm just talking from experience. But you know, it's like, if that's what happens when you drink, then just bring down the amount of times that you do that, because then it's not four times a month and the extra 10,000 calories that you eat. And then lastly, Ralph asks, and this is very apt because now we're coming into summer holiday time. What are your top tips for staying healthy whilst on holiday? Oh, I've got loads. So first of all, is try not to overindulge just because you're on holiday. I do it every single time. I'm like, oh my God, there's an all-inclusive buffet. I'm going to eat all the croissants, all the bread rolls, all the pasta, everything else. When I don't eat any of that stuff at home, because I know that it bungs me up, sorry for the information, but bloats me and just makes me feel like lethargic. But as soon as I'm in a bit of sun, I'm like, oh, none of those things matter anymore. Don't do it, because day three, you won't have been to the toilet for 3 days and you just feel like a big beached whale. So try and like be a bit mindful about what you actually do in your real regular life. Also, make sure that you're moving your body. It doesn't mean that you need to go and try and hit BBs in the gym, but, you know, go to the gym, do like maybe a little circuit or something. Don't hog all the weights though. Or just get outside and like, you know, walk a beach walk or a beach run, or just do something. Because I know for myself, like, it makes me feel so much more body confident to be in a bikini once I've actually like got a bit of a sweat on. Maybe it's a placebo effect, but it definitely does make a difference. And then lastly would be, you know, drink loads of water. Try to avoid all the dead, heavy, creamy cocktails and just like make wiser choices. Maybe have one of them, but then move on to something a bit lighter. And then lastly, if you're going to indulge in one meal, if you're going to indulge in a meal, have it as one a day. So if you know you're going out for like a big fancy dinner, then have that as your indulgent and look forward to it. And then across the day, just eat lighter options, have a light breakfast, have a light lunch, and drink gin and tonics rather than pina coladas. And on that note, I'm going to go and I will see you very soon in a few weeks. Make sure that you send in any listener questions like the ones I've just answered to our show, to our show's Instagram at What The Health Show. And yeah, until next time, have an amazing few weeks and I'll speak to you soon. Lots of love. Goodbye.